Let's pray. Father, thank you for the remembrance that we have had of you today. We thank you that we could be here. We thank you that we could exalt your name, the name that is above every name. And Father, we have come here to worship you, and we have come here to say thank you. We have come here to dwell on all that you have done, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John 14, that he will come again. And we realize that this opportunity we have had this morning will accumulate in a time when we view you face to face. We will no longer need the emblems, because we will view the man of Calvary. And we will see in his body the marks. They are what put there when mankind did their worst. So, Father, we appreciate all that you have done. We thank you. We praise you. And we worship your name. Amen. Before we start the next service, I'm just going to give you an opportunity for a minute, 1 minute, to just stand up, change your position, because it's good to be able to do that. Thank you very much. We'd like to welcome each one here this morning. Perhaps you've come late, or for this service specifically. Maybe you're sitting in your cars outside. We welcome you, and we trust that it will be a blessing for each one of us as we've gathered here today to hear the Word of God ministered to us. We're going to have a song right now. John's going to play the first one for us, and we can just sit and meditate on the words as it's played for us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the worship him.
Thank you, Everett, for that water. We're having a little changing around of the water here, but we both have a glass, so that's all that matters, right? We didn't drink out of the same cup, so we're okay. I'd like to bring to you the prayer requests for the day, for the thing to remember. These were on the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and so we'll just reiterate some of them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to pray for people. When people are in need, they need, at any time, they need our prayers. We need prayers, every one of us, for the situations that we find in life, in our own families or whatever. It's wonderful to have people pray for us. So we have an opportunity to pray for people. Remember Jordan Blight, the situation he finds himself in, and Angela? They need our prayers. So you're doing some difficult days, and we just pray that you would continue to pray for them. We pray for Jay and Laura, the other members of the family, and the loss of Margaret. It's a very, very sad time for them, and we just pray that we as God's people will come alongside them and do all we can to encourage them and help them. For Tim Martin's father, passed away, we pray that you'll pray for Tim and for Janice Vardy, who still has back pain. She was here this morning, but she comes for the first service. So we pray that God will enable her pain to be relieved. For Elizabeth Covert, who's had her surgery, for her and Garnet, that they'll experience Elizabeth's healing and she'll get back to normal. For Marilyn Strong and her stroke recovery. From Jerry Steele, we appreciate prayer. She's going for a test. She maybe already has had it to determine the cause of her difficulties in swallowing, as well as ongoing prayer for increased stamina and pain management. So we pray for Don and Jerry. For Hilda Lott, who was discharged from Peterborough Hospital, and she's settling back in apparently at Kawartha Heights residence. We pray that things will go well for her. For Anne, who is Phil and Marilyn Strong's daughter, I don't know if she's still waiting for treatments or if she's in the middle of having them, but we need to pray for her. For Don McAllister's sister, Sarah Eagles, who's decided to go ahead with heart valve surgery. It's now going to be done in Kingston as soon as she hears from her doctor. For Jessica and Mike Peschka, who is Leon and Kathy's daughter and son-in-law. I just talked to them or got an email this morning, and the baby did not come last night as they thought it might, so they're going to induce her today, this afternoon or tonight. After she's had a COVID test, then they're going to induce her, and the baby will be here. Tony and Edna Jones. Edna's still trying to get the visa to Canada, and so we just pray that apparently time is running out in December, so we just pray that the Lord will be gracious and grant that she'll be able to get back here to Canada. For Grant Reeder's brother Bob, who has a collapsed lung. He may be soon going to a retirement home, and so we pray for him, that God would grant and be with him. All these people need our prayers, every one of them. And there may be people here sitting in the audience today, and you have needs, and you haven't shared those needs, which is fine. But we need to remember that there are people that have hurts and problems and situations and discouragements and frustrations and all sorts of things. And they need to be prayed for. So let's just pray for them now. Father, you know all these people on the list. We don't need to go through them by name again. But Father, we just pray that you would, in a mighty way, intercede for these people according to your divine will. Father, comfort them, encourage them, help them, direct them. Help them to feel your presence with them. We just pray that you will minister to them and that they will feel underneath of the everlasting arms that are ready to bear them up. We pray especially for those that are bereaved, for Chris, Laura, Tim. Lord, I just pray for them, Father. This is a very, very trying time for them. And I pray that they'll experience your grace and your peace that only you can give. We pray for Don as he speaks to us this morning in a few minutes. We pray you'll give him words from yourself, give him liberty. And we pray that each one of us will be blessed as we listen to the word of God that Don delivers to us under the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to receive it not from Don, but to receive it as from yourself. And then we will be blessed. Father, we just give the remainder of this service over to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have another hymn put up on the board. And then we're going to call on Don.
I'm in awe of you, where your love reigns.
is found here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here arms open wide, here you save my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you,
to have Don to be able to speak to us this morning, and we welcome him here, and we just pray that the Lord will give to him the message, the one that he has laid on his heart, and it'll be a blessing to each one of us. Don.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. I'll get my glass of water now. Well, we thank the Lord for, it's a beautiful day, really, outside, that's for sure. I thought I should mention this. This possibly, and we'll put it on the prayer chain for sure, but this possibly would be our last Sunday where we have people in the parking lot, just because the weather's getting colder. And obviously we have, and we haven't used it, but we have overflow for people who want to come in. We realize people who feel uncomfortable coming in, we understand that, we appreciate that, and respect that. And it will probably become a watch-it-at-home situation for those who feel safest there. I was just noticing yesterday evening, the chapel where we were a part of in Nova Scotia, for some years now, I don't know what the restrictions in Nova Scotia are at this particular point, but they've had to, today, they had to go by Zoom alone, and so they weren't able to meet in the building. So who knows how things will unfold, but just pray that we'll have wisdom and do the right thing. And so just... I know this, I think as this thing drags out, it wears us out. And so I understand that. We all feel that. But just pray that we'll be able to get through this together, and it won't last a lot longer. Let's just ask God to help us. We obviously need that. Father, we are thankful for such a beautiful day. We thank you. This morning when I saw the sunrise, it was just glorious. And we thank you for the brightness of this day. Father, we come and we just pray that we'll be in tune with you. As already stated, we all have our needs, we all have our situations, and we know that you are the only solution to everything that we face or that we have to deal with. And right now, we just ask for your empowerment, the Spirit of God would work, and the word would be held and dealt with honorably in the way that you desire. We do pray, Father, all those who were mentioned and all those who were not mentioned that are in need of your hand and your work, your grace. We entrust each one of them to you. Again, there's just so many needs, but we again entrust the Jay family to you. Think of Mary and Elizabeth here this morning, and Chris and the children, grandchildren, all the family members. Comfort them in the days to come. We think of Jerry just talking to Dawn a little bit ago and knowing that just really hasn't got this, they haven't really got figured out what's going on, and we just pray for real help for her. Father, there's just so many situations, and We just entrust each person that into your perfect care to get through this season of life. And we just pray you'll guide us right now for your pleasure, glory, and for our good. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I think of this passage. I'm going to go to other passages this morning and to places where we've been, but I think this is so true where we're at in our day. And then I'm going to go to Hebrews, but I want to start with a passage in 2 Timothy. Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 1, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come." And if we look at the global situation, it truly is come. It's here. My heart breaks. As I've said on various occasions, I follow the persecuted church information that comes in, and I think it was last week. There was a preacher, he was in Uganda, and he was on the radio, and I think he was fairly well known. And somebody called him, and they said, "Oh, we want to talk to you more about what you shared." And so he was more than willing to meet with them. And so anyway, he went to the destination they had set out. And anyway, it was a trap. And he was murdered, hacked to death, I believe. And but what broke my heart even in addition, his wife with 8 children, and she was just beyond herself. I just can't imagine. And so and that's just one part of the globe. But when you look at what's going on in the whole world, difficult times have come. And I think in the midst of that stress and the frustration and the challenges, not only, I mean, thank the Lord, we're not in the midst of that kind of situation at this point, but there are challenges that tempt us to derail us, to just stop. How many, we would never share names, but how many Christians do you know who have already bailed, who have already stopped walking the walk, who wouldn't even enter the doors of a church building? There's quite a few. And that's why I want to go back to where we were the last time I spoke in Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to go back there. And I want to read in verse 35, and then we'll move forward. "Therefore," and this we so need this, "therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." And we talked about a great reward that is ours if we stay steady for the Lord. Verse 36, "For you have need of endurance." And I think the ladies have talked about endurance what has been shared there recently. "You have need of endurance." And that's so true, isn't it? We need endurance to hang in there when it's hard and it gets rough and we just want to bail. We just want to quit. We have need of endurance. But notice, it was the only way we can endure is that we have faith. Do not throw away your confidence or your faith. We need faith in the Lord to endure for the Lord. Now this, it brings us down, notice, and we've went through that passage, but I want to go back or go down to chapter 11, verse 1. The description of the faith that endures, the faith that will help us endure. Now faith, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." Okay, it's going to give us a description of faith. I want to talk about faith in a little, just a little side note. I remember years ago a professor put this up, and I thought it was helpful. So there's kind of like three components, but really they all merge into one. But first of all, we have to have revelation. You have to have something to believe, right? It's not, you know, the old statement used to be, just keep the faith. Well, faith in what? People have faith in the wrong stuff a lot of times. They're counting on the wrong thing. What we need is faith in the truth. And as one has written years ago, faith needs facts to rest upon. God in his word reveals to us the facts with which faith has to deal. That's biblical faith based on biblical facts. So we have that's why we have to know God's word, right? That's why we have to be in the book to know what God has said so we can believe what God has said. But then the second aspect is assent or conviction that the facts are true. Think how many people have heard, you know, passages of the Bible, John 3:16, wonderful, but they do not believe those passages. They don't have confidence. They don't assent to that those passages are true. So it's assent. And then the last component really merges into that second one, really, is trust. When you believe something, especially when we're talking of eternal things, and you believe that, and you're entrusting your life on that, you're trusting your life. You know, when we says he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, we're trusting the Son for everlasting life. We're resting on that for our eternal destiny. So these components, these three components of perception and assent and trust go together. But Bill McDonald puts it in a little bit simpler way. Faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. So first, we trust him. It is conviction that what God says is true and that what he promises will come to pass. What he promises will come to pass. We're counting on that. Another writes, we trust his word and act on it no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. I think that's very, very critical, isn't it? Because when we think about this is the difficulty of endurance. Stand steady in the Christian life when the consequences are hard. You know, again, I think of dear Christians who stay in the race even when the consequences are painful. And in order, when we believe God, and of course, when we trust Christ initially, we trust him for our eternal life. We talked about that this morning. We're so wonderful. But there's so many other things to learn about in the Word and trust him for on our journey. And so, as we trust him, and there are many, many things in Scripture, we trust God, and then we obey God if we really trust him. So, trust and obey. You know that little song, trust and obey? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But trusting him, and notice in our passage, going back to the Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, when you have done the will of God. Now, you know, sometimes we just think of the will of God as this, well, what should I do when I grow up, you know? But the will of God is in the Word of God. What should I do today? How should I respond to this person? What should I do in this situation? God has principles that plug into all of life. So walking in the will of God, first we have to know the Word of God to know what the will of God is, and then trusting God and obeying God. And that's, by the way, as we talked about the last time, that's how we receive a great reward. You know, none of us want to stand before the Lord. I was thinking of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Now, that should be the passion of life. And all of us at times find that's not our passion. but this is what we want to grow in, so that really Christ is the center point. But then it says in verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all, notice all of us, none of us are exempt, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all of us, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know what caught my attention the other day? The word bad. Oh, man. And we all got bad, right? There are things that just were not right. So, but we want to, okay, when we do that, we want to get out of that. You know, it's like if you get in a rut. Remember, of course, these the old farm days, but if you, and you see this in the logging road too, where you see the as trucks and cars and stuff, especially on a logging road, big old truck going down, and after a while the rut gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then after a while you can't hardly get out of the rut because it's so deep. Well, you know, when we drop off in a rut as a Christian, we confess it and we get back up and we go on. If we don't let it stop us by God's grace. Because we don't want too much bad. We want the good so we get the reward. Trust and obey. Notice doing the will of God. Now, faith, going back to our passage, Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance. This is talking about, it's trying to help us understand. It's describing faith. Faith is assurance. One puts it, it is the essence. The essence of faith is being sure. That's a nice, simple way to put it. In fact, the NIV translation says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. It's being sure, confident. We're sure of this. That's what faith is all about. Confident assurance. Wiersbe writes, when a believer has faith, it is confidence and assurance that what is promised will be experienced. It will be fulfilled. Now, we don't know sometimes when it will be fulfilled, right? But we can have confidence. It will. If God promised it, it will be fulfilled. We can be sure of that, confident of that. And just think, there's so many passages we could go to, but let's just think of one passage. And again, I think of, and we read this at Margaret's graveside, but it's so relevant to all of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, if we haven't died yet, will be caught up together with them. With them. How encouraging. Think of all our loved ones. You know, I think of my mom and my dad. Think, you know, I think of friends who have passed on. When we're raptured with the Lord, we'll be caught up with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So we have this grand reunion. We're caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Isn't that an awesome thought? We'll always be with the Lord. So that is a promise, but we haven't seen it yet. The rapture is a promise. That being caught up is a promise. And if we are those who believe, we're sure of that promise. That gives us great hope, great encouragement, great comfort. And that's what this passage is meant to do, is bring comfort. But that's just one passage in the scripture that is something that God says, believe this, be sure of this. And as we're sure of that, it helps us stay on track. It helps us, you know what? Let's say we're going through, you know, a bad situation. I mean, everybody goes through bad situations, but we got that hope ahead of us. We got that hope ahead of us. Notice in it described, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, further description, the conviction of things not seen. We're convinced of this reality. but we haven't seen it yet. Again, I quote, "The unseen things become as real to the believer as though present to sight." And again, I quote, "Faith enables us to see what others cannot see, what the unbeliever cannot see, or what the believer who doesn't know his scriptures at all doesn't even know. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see, and as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do." Now, if in the Hebrews, notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, this is one illustration that God gives us. Verse 7, Hebrews 11, "By faith, Noah," one outstanding illustration of faith, "being warned by God about things not yet seen." Now, "in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household." Now, just focus a little on things not seen. It's, you know, he'd never seen a flood. Noah didn't, even in that time, it seems that there wasn't, you know, the downpours that we think of now. Noah had never seen, and surely hadn't seen any worldwide flood. Things not seen, but he believed God, reverenced, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And see, that's where we're at. A lot of times, the things we cannot see with our eyes are more real than the things we do see. Why? Because those things are going to last forever. Much of what we see today, you know, you put your hand on something, you hold it, you know, but there's going to come a time it's going to be gone. But the eternal things that God promises us are going to be forever. One writes, "We see the invisible, hear the inaudible, touch the intangible, and do the impossible." You know, you think of missionaries who have gone out, and you know, as we see MSC and we see the prayer requests, right? These missionaries that go out. And I was last Sunday, I thank the Lord, was able to see Dennis Easton, he attends LAMAB, but they're missionaries in the Philippines, right? And I said to him last week, I said, "It was such a joy to watch your kids. I mean, I've seen them at different stages, you know, when they were just little, and now they're starting to grow up. Some are still pretty little, but they're growing up." And they were sitting across the way from where I was sitting, and it was just a beautiful description and picture of this little family. But you know what? What touched my heart is here, Dennis and Valerie, going to the mission field when they have this beautiful family. Now, why do they do that? Why wouldn't they just circle the wagons and stay here? Well, because, see, they see beyond. They see beyond time. They see the value of souls coming to trust Christ for salvation. And God, I'm not saying everybody's called to the mission field, but they see something. They see the unseen. They see the eternal. And that's why they're willing to take this beautiful little family and go to the Philippines. And we, by the way, need to pray for all these missionaries that give their time and their lives. But what a wonderful picture, because they believe the unseen. Now again, as one reminds us, faith in the biblical sense is the assurance and conviction of what God has said is true and is acted upon by the believer. But it's that biblical sense. It's based on biblical faith. We can see the unseen because we see God's eternal word. And we believe it, we hold on to it, we live consistent with it. God has said it, therefore we are sure of it, therefore we live by it. It's what we're called to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, let's look at the approval of this faith that helps us and causes us to endure. Verse 2, Hebrews 11, 2. "For by it the men of old gained approval." The men of old. Now, you know, it's interesting. All those saints who have gone before us, all those believers who have gone before us, the men of old. Now, some of us feel old, but we're not that old compared to some of those who, like we said, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, those who have believed God from old, they have gained approval. Now, notice, and we talked about this last time, we were looking at this section of Scripture. It's also possible not to gain approval with God. Now, a person can trust Christ for salvation and they're always saved. They're secure. Thank the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But if we don't keep in the Word, we don't keep trusting the Lord, we don't walk on with Him, we can lose God's approval in our Christian walk. That goes back to that 2 Corinthians passage, we're the bad, doing what God doesn't want us to do, right? Now, but these individuals gain God's approval. But remember back in Hebrews 10, verse 38, it says, it talked about if he, here is a believer who shrinks back, my soul, God says, has no pleasure in him. We don't want to be caught there, right? We don't want to be caught there. We want God's approval. You know, we want to be able to stand before the Lord, and he says, well done, well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. We want to gain, and we gain his approval by faith, trust, and obey. Those of faith gained God's approval. Gains God's approval. What an important thing. Now, this is an illustration, again, from Hebrews 11, verse 39. And it says this, and all these having gained approval, notice in verse 39, all these, and the list of those of faith in that passage, all these having gained approval through their faith, we have to trust God. And then it said, did not receive what was promised. It wasn't fulfilled yet. It would be fulfilled in the future. And see, again, the unseen. You see the unseen. We believe God's word even though it hasn't happened yet. And this gains God's approval. And again, this also gains us great reward. Remember in the Hebrews 11:35, therefore do not throw away your confidence. Okay, keep walking by faith. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. That's what we want. We want a great reward when this thing's all done. But notice what it says in Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. If we don't trust him, we won't obey him, we're not going to please him. That's what God said. It's impossible without faith. See, faith, the thing of faith, it's all focused on God and his word. God is what it's all about. Now, as I see it, I just believe it. But then God gets the glory. He gets all the credit. But if we don't believe God, we can't please God as we're walking in our Christian life. And this is to motivate us to grow in our faith, to grow in our faith. And, of course, there's a whole list of heroes listed in chapter 11. To help us, to nudge us, to say, hey, they did it. We can, by God's grace, we can do this. They did it. They stayed steady. Abraham, Sarah, Noah, they stayed steady in very, very difficult. Think of Sarah and Abraham. You know, here they get. Sarah's 99 years old. You got to be kidding. Babies? You got to be kidding. But they believed, and God delivered. God fulfilled his promise. The heroes of faith. Now, this is all to encourage us to endure, because after all that list of saints, of those who have trusted the Lord, it says in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, all those witnesses gone before, surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. There's a lot of things that we need to shed that. We can't carry this. We can't carry this thing. There are certain things we got to deal with. And the sin which so easily entangles us. I always think of of an animal who might get wrapped around with barbed wire. If you were in, if maybe a fence had come down and maybe the wire had broken. And, you know, cattle or horses, especially the more dangerous to them, but they get caught in that barbed wire. If it get wrapped around, man, oh, just ruin them, could just ruin, cut a tendon, just cripple them for life. But notice, the sin, cut free of the sin, which so easily entangles us and let us run, notice, with endurance, the race that is set before us. That's why we need endurance. Endurance. I thank the Lord for all those who have endured, right? Isn't it great? One thing I was thinking of David Fenton. When David passed away, I found that really hard. I found that really hard. The last thing, I remember I was talking to David on the phone. This was maybe 2 weeks before that. I'm not sure. It wasn't that long. And I was talking to David, and of course, we were good friends. And one of the last things he said, "We love you. We love you." Thank you. But I was thinking of David's life, and I think it's true of Mark's. They finished well. Finished well. May God help me finish well. May He help us finish well. Now, the example of faith that we need to endure. Notice, this is just one example. The whole list starts back again in chapter 11. But notice, this is one example. By faith, verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God. By faith we understand. Bill McDonald once said, "The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing." That's a pretty good way to put it, isn't it? That the worlds were prepared by the word of God. Now, when I read this, it immediately comes to mind. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light." God said. And there was light. Just God spoke it. He spoke it into reality. Psalm 33:6 reads this way, "The word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host." In verse 9 of Psalm 33, "For God spoke, he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." One has said, "Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. The natural man, however, seeks by reason to account for the formation of the universe without God." You know, it does make me sad when I see a whole system around us that wants to erase God and erase the reality of a creator. But faith calls us to believe that God made it with the word of his mouth. He spoke and it came into reality. Notice the passage goes on to say, so that what is seen, what we see, you know, again, looking out my window this morning and seeing the sunrise, and I thought, wow, it's just gorgeous. What we see, the sun, is one facet of what God has made. What we see was made out of things, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God just spoke it into reality. Just spoke the sun into reality. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Shows how awesome God is, doesn't it? One writes, "It means to call into existence out of nothing." Out of nothing. Believing in what we cannot see, but in what God says is the kind of faith that endures. Faith endures. We need faith so we can endure. Faith in the Lord to endure for the Lord until we're with the Lord. Notice how important this is. One has said, there is absolutely no safety or strength for the Christian but to be strong in faith. And of course, we don't start out strong, but we can grow strong. Again, that's why being in the Word is so critical. But we grow strong. We need this. Now, let me ask you this question. What do we need right now. What do you need? What do I need? And it looks different for each one of us right now. What do we need to hold on to in faith in order to endure whatever we are in or whatever's coming? What do we need? What do we need? Now, what passages do we need? Now, it's going to be different for each one of us. I was just thinking of some passages that came to mind about different facets, and of course, there are many, many more. How about stress? Boy, that's and all of us are faced with stress. And, you know, you see the statistics more and more are coming out of the stress in our world because of COVID-19. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was just yesterday. In Japan, and I don't remember how long, but the statistics are around the COVID-19 thing. There's been more suicides than there have been deaths to COVID-19. They just can't cope. Now, I don't understand the culture. I don't understand. But there's been more suicides than deaths due to COVID-19. Can't handle the stress. Well, what verse could we run to? Well, among many, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that's only true for the Christian, we understand. But that we need that. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this. If Paul could say that in all the things, the prisons, the beatings, the stonings, all of that stuff, if he could say that, he could get through that, then that principle can apply to us. I can do all things. I can go through whatever I have to go through because Christ strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. How about inadequacy? We're all inadequate, right? We're all inadequate. There's always somebody that can do it better than we can. And so some people say, well, I'm so inadequate, I'll just give up. But remember 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, and he said, Christ said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Who's weak? Well, we're all weak. All of us are weak. We're candidates for God's strength. But we need to know the passage and hold on to it by faith. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Just wonderful. Hold on to that. Faith in the Lord to endure for the Lord until we're with the Lord. How about money? So many people stressed, and we understand that. But Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself, God himself has said, and this is, I love this passage, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God will never abandon his children. So when we're struggling, specifically in the area of money, but in all areas of life, he'll never desert us or forsake us. How about just sin? The old battle with sin. It's just, we all battle with this thing. We all have a nature of sin, an old sin capacity. I love this passage as well, Romans 6:11. Even so, reckon yourselves to be, or consider yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. And it goes on and talks a lot more about how to pull this off, but consider, that's another word for faith. Reckon, this is, it's the word. Count this to be true because it is true. It's a word of faith. And so we don't have to give in to sin because we're in Christ. We can say no to sin. We can say yes to God because we're in Christ. So, you know, all the battles people face. I'm reading a book right now on addictions. You know, and this is one passage it goes to because the Christian has provision in Christ to say no to whatever addiction a person is dealing with. How about just declining health? This is a wonderful passage, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, We can all raise our hand on that, except for the little ones, right? Our outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The pain is temporal. The ache is temporal. These things are temporal that we struggle with, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that wonderful? I think one of the wonderful things about heaven is no pain. No pain. Oh. But right now, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. These are just some verses. There's so many. The scripture is to be believed, to be known, to be faith in the Lord, to endure for the Lord until we're with the Lord. I was thinking just yesterday of a man I read about some time ago, but he died in 1902. So Robert Chapman, a godly man in England. Robert Chapman, in his last sermon at the chapel there that he attended, he was 98 years old. And, you know, you think, oh, I speak too long, but on that day he spoke an hour and a quarter, 90, on this 98th, on his birthday in... Shortly after that, he went home to be with the Lord. But you know what was amazing about him? In his early 20s, he made this decision that his goal, and he put it this way, to live Christ, to live Christ. You know, he wasn't the most outstanding preacher, they say. He wasn't he wasn't at the top of everything, but he was a very, very godly man. And a very consistent man. And he walked the Christian life, his whole Christian life. By the end of his life, and I quote, Chapman was known worldwide for his love, wisdom, and compassion. He had become so well known in England that a letter from abroad addressed only to R.C. Chapman, and then he said, University of Love, England, and it was... They knew where to deliver the letter because they knew the man. When he died, there were over 2,000 people that came from all over to be at that service. But I remember an illustration that was given early on. Well, he was when he was older because he and his friend were walking together and... They were helping each other, and it was somewhat icy, and so they were helping each other, and I think they were just about, let's say, out there a little ways, and they were walking, and they were going to go up to some steps to go into their house, and they just got right there, just about to step up, and his friend said, "We made it," and R.C. Chapman said to him, he says, "We haven't made it until we're at the door." But R.C. Chapman, his point was this. We need to endure to the end. We need to endure to the end. And he's a great example of a godly man who had faith in the Lord, endured for the Lord, and is now with the Lord. May that be true for all of us. Let's pray. God, it's a long journey. We're in a unique time, frustrating time. But Father, and there's also so many other things. Some people are really struggling with health issues. Some are battling financial things. There's just so many things to be discouraged and drop out. But Father, we pray by your grace, our faith will grow. Our faith will be strong in the Lord. And we'll endure for the Lord until we're with you, the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good week. Have a good week. No, it's fine. We're done.